Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this joint meeting, a special meeting of the Madera City Council, regular meeting of the City Council as the successor agency to the former Madera Redevelopment Agency, special meeting of the City Council as the successor housing agency, and a regular meeting of the Madera Housing Authority. Roll call, please.
Mayor Commissioner Andrew Medellin.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Commissioner Jose Rodriguez.
Here.
Councilmember Chairperson William Oliver.
Here.
Councilmember Vice Chairperson Cecilia Foley Gallegos.
Here.
Councilmember Commissioner Derek Robinson Sr.
Present.
Councilmember Commissioner Charles Rigby.
Here.
Councilmember Commissioner Donald Hawley.
Present.
Thank you so much, Claudia. Joining us this evening for the invocation from New Life Assembly is Pastor Fred Thurman. If you'll stand with me, please, for the invocation.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we come tonight thanking you for your grace and love for our mankind. We thank you for each one of these council members tonight and the different city departments represented here for the different areas tonight. Thank you, Father, for your wisdom. Thank you for resolving each item on the agenda and bringing your will to pass. We give you praise for it and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor Fred. I appreciate it. If you'll join me in the pledge, please. Ready, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now moving on to public comment, the first 15 minutes of the meeting are reserved for members of the public to address the agency or council on items which are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency or council. Speakers shall be limited to three minutes. Speakers will be asked to identify themselves and state the subject of their comment. If the subject is an item on the agenda, the mayor has the option of asking the speaker to hold the comment until that item is called. Comments on items listed as a public hearing on the agenda should be held until the hearing is open. The agency and council are prohibited by law from taking any action on matters discussed that are not on the agenda, and no adverse conclusion should be drawn if the agency or council does not respond to public comment at this time. Is there anyone in the audience wishing to speak under this definition of public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment, and Claudia has an announcement for us.
Okay. Per Government Code Section 54957.5, members of the public are advised that less than 72 hours prior to this evening's meeting, amended resolution for item 3G was provided to the council and staff. If you wish to obtain a copy of this item, it is located on the podium. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that announcement. Moving on to consent calendar, is there any commissioner wishing to pull or further discuss a consent item? If not, I will entertain a motion for the consent calendar.
So move to approve the consent calendar as presented.
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded to approve the consent calendar as presented. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item 4A, this is consideration of a resolution of the City Council of the City of Madera as the successor agency to the former Madera Redevelopment Agency, approving the issuance of refunding bonds in order to refund certain outstanding bonds.
Thank you, Mayor Medellin. This is kind of a continuation of where we started on at our February 21st meeting, where Kenneth Deeker, he's our municipal advisor from Del Rio Advisors, gave the presentation and started us off. So Kenneth is here tonight. And we're also lucky enough tonight to have Nikki Tallman here. She is our underwriter. She's been the one that's chosen, firm chosen for the underwriting. So
great.
Nikki is here also.
Thank you.
Well, good evening, everyone. Ken Deeker with Del Rio Advisors. thanks for taking the time tonight. Wanted to, first of all, discuss a little bit about the refunding. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is the follow-on. This is the first of a couple of opportunities the successor agency board will have to approve this refunding. To describe those steps, first of all, tonight, you're approving the base form of the legal documents and a required document, the refunding plan and savings analysis that I'm going to go over this evening. Is a required document. As municipal advisor, I have to certify to not only you, the successor agency, but also the oversight board and ultimately Department of Finance that this is a viable refunding, that it works. And so that's part of what I'm going to go over tonight. That's also part of your agenda package. First of all, as we discussed a couple weeks ago, there's four outstanding series of bonds that are going to be refunded. The 1998 tax allocation bonds, there's about $5.4 million of those remaining. the 2003 tax allocation bonds. They were a refunding of some previous 1993 bonds. That's $13.35 million outstanding. Some subordinate tax allocation bonds from Series 2008A, $22.2 million outstanding, and some housing set-aside subordinate tax allocation bonds, 2008 Series B, a $3.3 million outstanding. The refunding plan is to refund all of the outstanding obligations for significant economic savings. We are going to refund a portion of two of the series as federally taxable because there are some unspent bond proceeds related to those transactions. Security for the bonds will be a gross pledge of RPTTF revenue. So the way this works is through the ROPS process that Mr. Wilson files annually now, the county collects the property taxes and distributes it through the Redevelopment Property Tax Trust Fund, RPTTF, to the taxing entities, of which the successor agency receives a share of it to pay its debt service and ongoing annual administration. We have determined, and this is the latest breaking news from a couple of days ago, I had represented at the council meeting that the city share of the RPTTF was 23.64%. It's actually 28.77%. So 28.77% of all of the annual savings would come to the city's general fund as unrestricted property tax revenue. Okay. We are going to seek an investment grade rating through Standard & Poor's, seek bond insurance and a surety for the reserve fund. Usually on these transactions, you would fund a cash reserve fund that sets aside in a pot in the event of a potential default. An insurance company will actually provide you a policy so you don't have to fund that. So it increases your cash flow savings. So basically tonight, if the agency board approves this, the remaining steps in the transaction are as follows. The transaction would move to the oversight board for their review. If the oversight board approves it, it moves the documentation to the Madera County Administrative Officer, Madera County Auditor Controller, and the most important, the State of California Department of Finance. DOF, Department of Finance, has 5 days to reply that they will review the refunding and 60 days to reply with formal approval or denial of the refunding. I have not had any of these refundings for the multiple successor agencies denied by DOF, but they do ask a lot of questions. They do a lot of due diligence. They look into everything very carefully. But I have seen them take the full 60 days and even a few days longer. They seem to kind of push the edge of the envelope. So we move this forward very quickly to try to get that clock ticking with Department of Finance. In the meantime, while Department of Finance is reviewing the documents, Disclosure Counsel Jones Hall will be preparing an official statement. That's the primary marketing document used by Brandis Tallman to sell the bonds to the market. So you'll have another chance to approve that official statement at an upcoming meeting. And that will be probably, I think we scheduled that sometime in May, I believe. I don't have the schedule. I've got to look at it right here. Hold on a second. I have it here somewhere.
May 9th.
So we've got it scheduled to come back to you at May 9th. You'll have another chance to review it. And we'll certainly update you with market conditions at the time when you receive final approval for that. I am presenting two options for you tonight, and I have had successor agencies do one or the other. The first structure is what we call level savings. Over the term of the bonds, there's $8.6 million in total savings that we realized by the successor agency and all the taxing entities. That equates to $6.3 million in net present value savings, or 14.22%. And again, to reiterate, CDAC, the California Debt and Investment Advisory Commission, generally recommends refundings in the range of 3 to 5% net present value savings. So this far exceeds that level. And even the individual refundings, the reason I put this table together, show you on an individual basis that each of them is contributing more than that minimum 3 to 5% NPV savings. This is a little bit hard to see on the screen up there, but hopefully you have it in front of you. This is what the level savings structure looks like. It's about $500,000 a year, drops off to about $450,000 a year, and then ultimately down to about $325,000 a year. The average for that, got it right here someplace, is about $452,000 per year, of which the city would receive 28.77% of that, or about $130,000 per year from 2020 through 2038. So that's the first option I want you to consider as successor agency board. This particular table is something required to comply with some of the law, just to make sure that under this particular calculation method that there are significant savings, which I've proven here. The second option I've asked you to take a look at tonight would be what we call the accelerated savings scenario. This reduces total savings by about $2 million over the life of the bonds, or about $500,000 net present value. But the advantage of this is that the savings pulled out for the city, in this particular case at 28.77%, would be approximately $316,000 a year from 2020 through 2025. And again, the savings are slightly reduced because we've basically moved principal out to allow the savings to be accelerated into the early years. You'll see on the next page in just a moment. But you can see that individually, the savings are still at 13.48%, and each individual transaction works quite well. Here's what the savings structure looks like on the accelerated basis. And again, I have had one successor agency that wanted to accelerate savings because they have a lot of capital projects, and because they weren't allowed to spend some of their bond proceeds, they did one of those bonds that was in 2011 when dissolution was going on. They were not allowed to spend those bond proceeds, so this was a way for them to move money into the earlier years to provide some sorely needed capital funding. I've also had other successor agencies decide that they don't particularly care, they just want to receive the savings over time because it is the most savings by generating it over time. You just don't get it in the early years. Okay, so it's kind of a, you know, and I can't tell you which way you should do it. It kind of depends on your overall financial structure. And again, this next page is, again, that compliance document that I have to put together. So with this, as we discussed, you know, we bring this back to you on Wednesday, May 9th. Hope to actually sell the bond sometime in June and close in early July. So again, it just depends on how quickly Department of Finance is able to turn this around and give us approval back. I did talk to Mr. Prisbila earlier today and kind of asked him what his thoughts were as to, you know, what his recommendation, putting his city hat on, putting your city hat on for a minute. Would you rather see the savings in the early years, or would you rather wait over time? And granted, waiting over time gets you more savings over the life, but there are a lot of expenses that are coming in these early years, particularly with the rising PERS costs. And so maybe accelerating some of those savings might be worthwhile to the success, or to the city in this case, to do that. So, Mr. Prisbila, do you have any comment as to which structure you would prefer?
We also might point out that the oversight board will be the one who makes the final decision on which savings plan we go with, but I guess that they certainly take the recommendation that we will take it to them and they will consider it, I'm sure.
So I'm going to draft up the staff report. Assuming that you guys approve this tonight, I'm going to draft up the staff report tomorrow. And as part, it's basically the same staff report, but I would like to put the successor agency recommendation into that staff report, whichever way you guys decide.
Okay, Ken, thanks for asking. Bob called me, and we also spoke about it. I think we both feel that it's better to get the greater amount of savings over time rather than upfront the savings, because there's no guarantee that 6 months or 6 years from now that the cost of CalPERS isn't going to go up even higher than it is. So the greater amount of savings, I think, is the most prudent way to go. Take it over time with $130,000 a year over 19 years rather than $316,000 over 6 years. Is that correct? 19 and 6. So that's my recommendation. And Bob totally agreed with me when we talked about it.
So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions related to the financing or any questions that you might have on the structure.
Thank you very much, Ken. I appreciate that. Any questions regarding the report? Mayor Pro Tem Rodriguez.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Madone. Ken, I'm sorry. When I look at the level savings and the accelerated savings, I'm looking at the bottom line there. So combined, I'm looking at the $6 million on the accelerated, and then I have the 8.5 on the level savings.
That's 8.6 million. That's
8.6, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry. I thought I heard Tim say something about $130,000 a year.
This is the total savings on the refunding to all of the taxing entities, but the city share of that is 28.77%.
I see. Okay. That clears it. Thank you.
Councilman Oliver.
Thank you, Mr. Deeker, for the presentation, and this certainly presents a great opportunity. And I think my first question is, I don't know that if there's a routine time to evaluate, you know, our position with respect to some of our bond funds, and have we gone through this exercise in the past with previous boards, or is this the first bond refinance we've done on these particular funds? Maybe it's a question for Bob.
Yeah, this is the first that we've done on all of them except that the 2003 refunded the 1998 bond. So, but this is the first refunding of the 2003 and the 2008 and the 98. So, yeah. Did I get that right, Ken?
These four bonds have not been refunded. However, you did have a 1993 bond that was refunded in 2003. So one of these actually refunded a previous bond. But that was back in the days when you were still the redevelopment agency and not the successor agency.
Okay, great. What is, you mentioned seeking investment grade rating. What is that desired rating? Where we currently sit today?
I think the current rating, I believe, is A-. Is that right, Ms. Tallman? That's a.
Yeah, we have a double A- on one and then an A- on the others. So we assume A- to be more conservative.
So I believe that's the insured rating is the double A- on that one transaction. So I think it's an underlying A- on your existing bonds. And I would expect, given the fact that now there's no housing left anymore, everything is lumped together in this gross RPTTF pledge that comes from the county. That coverages should be stronger than on the old structure where 20% of the money went to the housing fund and covered just the housing bonds as far as debt service coverage. So we believe it's a stronger credit, and the bond market perceives it as a stronger credit. What we did is assume the current rating. We're hoping to get it higher, obviously. So what we will do is we'll prepare a full-blown rating presentation, and we'll have a conference call with Standard & Poor's, and they will go through everything in the rating presentation and ultimately go to committee to assign us a rating. So we're hoping to get the highest rating possible. The higher the rating, the less cost for the insurance to wrap the bonds to a double A.
That was going to be my next question is how, maybe if you can elaborate even more as far as their thought process and evaluation and looking at that rating. I know in my day job, and I made this point during our mid-year budget update at our last council meeting, my day job, you know, we, for the Fresno Economic Development Corporation, we produce a study for the Fresno International Airport to kind of contrast some of the analysts with S&P and as far as, you know, Fresno and Madera being an agricultural-based economy and there being inherent biases with that. What things can we do to make our best case to lean on the city's financial footing, its reserve policies, and things like that? Is there anything that we can do over and beyond the conference call and the information that you're going to present and provide to them?
Unfortunately, really not, because this is a separate entity and a separate credit from anything to do with the city's general fund. You're going to be a beneficiary of these savings at that 28.7%, but unfortunately, they're not going to look at the health of the general fund, the health of the city's reserves. They're looking strictly at specific items on the successor agency, like assessed value growth, what your base year is over your incremental growth, to look at what's called the volatility ratio. They look at your top 10 property taxpayers and diversification. So if you're primarily industrial commercial, do you have, like I'm working on one right now, where 35% of the incremental assessed value comes from one big packing plant, right? And so they look at that as not being very diversified, because if you lose that largest taxpayer, what happens to the debt service? Well, you could fall below 1x coverage and not be able to make the payment. So there's not a lot that we can do other than put the facts together and let them present the facts. One thing we do like to do is compare and contrast that with other agencies so that we can kind of see where we think we should fall. And if there's a chance that we could get to like A versus A minus, that we would fight for that based upon some comparables from other agencies.
Okay, great. You think the conference call will suffice?
Maybe we invite them to come kick the tires. A lot of times they don't. You know, sometimes they do. It just depends on the analyst and their availability. We certainly add the invitation to come out and kick the tires, view the project area, view the largest taxpayers. And they may have some specific questions. I know on one I'm working on right now, the largest taxpayers put in about $100 million of improvements to their plant, some of which they were worried about earthquake retrofit, right? And so we got a hold of the plant manager. He described the improvements. And the rating agency was more comfortable with the fact that if there's an earthquake disaster, that they wouldn't lose the largest taxpayer. So those are the sorts of detail things that they'll dig into when you go through the process.
What about us going to them?
It's not usually done unless you have a specific financing, which we do in this case. We could certainly make a road trip. Their offices are up in San Francisco. I don't know if it helps a whole lot, but sometimes it's nice to shake hands with them. And so we could certainly offer that up if that's the desire.
Well, I I will certainly lean on the experts and the folks that do this day in and day out. I would say that, you know, we should turn over every rock and make every effort and attempt that we can, especially as a staff, and be as aggressive as we can. And so I would say if it's feasible, maybe we look at that. But I think it's something that we should take into consideration. And
well, we can certainly offer that up to come meet with them and
okay. And
hit the road and actually do it in their offices. It's a pretty cool place to do a presentation, so certainly wouldn't mind it. If it gives them a chance. I would prefer if they would actually come down here and kick
sure
the tires and meet the council members and meet the largest taxpayers and go through the project area. That's more beneficial, I think. But we can certainly approach them about that, either one of those options.
That'd be great. And I would definitely love to see the analysis or presentation that we would be conveying to them as well, whether it be over the phone or in person.
Yeah, well, certainly able to provide that, absolutely.
Great. Thank you.
Great points, Mr. Councilman. And Ken, thanks again for this information. Briefly, I mean, I get what the market over time is your best bet, and so I appreciate the input by Mr. Prisbila. But I'd like to know the risks associated with that. Again, we talk about expenses over 19 years versus the next 6 years. So can we maybe just talk about what some of the possibilities are as we prolong this and kind of take less money but over time?
Well, I mean, again, it depends on the policy goals of the city and what you foresee, putting your city council hat on here, what you foresee coming down the road. Like I said, I've had agencies decide one way or the other. There's no set foundation for telling you this is what you should do, this is what you should not do. I know that in the case of the one successor agency, they had a lot of capital projects that remained unfunded. They wanted the money early because they wanted to build the projects, right? I think my biggest concern, of course, is increasing PERS costs and what that's doing to budgets all over the state with these primarily cities that I work with, and taking some of those monies up front because these are unrestricted general fund dollars is the only thing that I could really think of. But again, it's not my ultimate decision. You guys have to make it. Clearly, there's a financial benefit taking it over time. It's about $2 million in total savings improvement by taking it over time, and the city will realize much more money over time by doing the level savings scenario. But we always present this as an option because everyone's needs are a little bit different.
Got it. Thank you, Ken, very much. Any other questions of Mr. Deeker regarding his presentation? Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Nikki, thank you for your input, too. I appreciate it. With that, I'll bring it back to council for any further discussion or direction. Councilman Rigby.
You know, I think that Mr. Prisbila did a great job of kind of, that was the question I had, was sort of what would be the city's recommendation moving forward. And, you know, I think in hindsight, we don't have that crystal ball. I wish we did.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the city council now and in the past have worked hard to be fiscally responsible. I think it's proven with our fund balance. If there is a dire emergency moving forward, we wouldn't be up the creek without a paddle, so to speak. And so I can see where maybe not getting the finances right away could better benefit the city moving forward. And so I think knowing that we have that fund balance makes it easier for me to take the recommendation of Mr. Prisbila and Ken, and maybe I'm a proponent of taking option two moving forward. But that's just me. I'd love to hear some of our other council members' ideas. Or
option two, the accelerator?
I'm sorry, option one. Yeah. No. I'm sorry, I got them mixed up.
Levels.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
I was thinking those two as well. Yeah.
Thanks, Bob. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I would concur. I think that's I think it's a better long-term plan. I don't know how many of us will be here over that 19-year period, but at the same time as we lay that foundation, of course, Councilman Hawley will definitely be here. I think that's prudent. I really do, and I appreciate the input of our finance director. Any further comment or discussion? If not, I will entertain a motion.
So move to approve level one.
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded, and I think the direction, you want the direction stated?
Well, no, just for clarification, I just want to make sure I understand Mr. Hawley's motion, that it's, is it moving to approve the resolution in item four and then with the recommendation to go with the level
correct
financing? Okay.
Yes. Yeah,
all
exactly.
Right. I just want to make sure for the record
correct
that I understood.
Thank you. Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Okay, once again, properly moved and seconded to approve item four as stated. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Once again, thank you very much for your input.
That's great.
I believe that concludes the RDA except for agency member reports. So I will move to my far right to agency member Robinson.
Yes. Last Saturday, I attended a funeral for one of my neighbors, Ron Coquinas, and he served on the beautification committee for me. And he was a good friend, a car buff. You know, he had a 65 Chevy truck. And so now he's gone to be with the Lord. Thank you.
Councilwoman Gallegos.
Nothing to report.
Councilman Rigby.
I recently sat down with one of our code enforcement officers, and what Andrew and I are starting to do is we're actually hoping to look into what maybe contracting out the river camp cleanups might look like for the city moving forward. Just talking to him and even our public works weekend crews, it's a lot. It is a big task when they get out there, not just the cleanup, but then the moving of what they call private possessions of the camp owners, and then the tagging of those possessions, the storage of those possessions. It is quite a day. And so we've been working with county code enforcement to kind of just sort of to better coordinate the river cleanups as well as camp encampment cleanups throughout the city. And I know Mr. Richardson might be able to attest to this, but there's certain language that the sheriffs use that allow them to maybe not necessarily store the private items for the amount of days that we're choosing to store them. As a matter of fact, without getting anyone in trouble, I hope, they don't store them at all. And they indicate that by language used in their postings. So I think this is something, Brent, that you're possibly looking into already. I know that the county is feeling like they're helping us by leading us that direction. It's not necessarily something that I think our code enforcement is ready to bring to council to discuss, but that Andrew and I are kind of looking into what that might look like to contract out to companies that would come in with their crews and do the cleanups, especially at the jails. So the jails, we've learned, they only charge, I believe it was $200 a month to come in and to do the cleanups. And so it would be in coalition with the county jail and our CDF. I saw Jimbo was here, but our firefighters, they actually work together. The firefighters will go out there in the river with their chainsaws and different things, and they practice maneuvers for during the fire season with chainsaws and different things like that, while those that are on the prison's work system or the jail's work system are out there cleaning up. So that's a possibility, because I guarantee you we're paying more than $200 every time we send out our crews. So just kind of wanted to give you guys a little a report on that kind of moving forward, and that's spurred on by a committee that I sit on with the county code enforcement, as well as our city administrator and this county CAO. So,
yeah, actually, a very good point that you bring that up. And as we have just kind of got the intergovernmental agency off the ground with the city of Chowchilla, city of Madera, and the county, these are actually things that we've discussed in tandem, like the homeless issue. And so if we can work together with them and kind of have the same ordinances and directions, I think that would certainly behoove us to do so.
That's kind of the point of this committee, so that's what we're working towards.
Very good, very good. Thank you very much for that. Councilman Hawley.
Nothing to report.
Mayor Pro Tem Rodriguez.
Nothing to report.
Councilman Oliver.
Nothing to report.
And I have nothing to report. So thank you also very, very much. We'll just take a minute or two to switch hats.